Hey everyone, this is Surviving Concrete, and this is our second episode. So I know it's been a little while. We've been in the process of just getting everything together with our blog and all of our social media accounts, and it's just been honestly an experience. A great learning experience, but an experience nonetheless. And I'm just so happy to have this space and this time to come back and check in with you guys and, you know, see what's going on. Today I figured we would kind of focus on anxiety and what that means, what that looks like for each of us, and you know, how we can work through it. So anxiety is defined as having an excessive amount of worry, feeling apprehensive, you know, you're expecting something really, really bad to happen all the time. It consumes you. You can't think of anything else. You can't focus on day-to-day activities. And it occurs more than one day. So you can't just, you know, just have this brief period of worry and think that you can be diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, right? It has to happen for more days, a longer period of time. Some other symptoms of, you know, experiencing anxiety are just feeling restless, you know, feeling amped up or just on edge, being easily fatigued. You have difficulty concentrating, or sometimes your mind even goes blank. You can't think about what you need to do in the next 30 minutes or in the next 5 seconds. You're really, really moody and irritable. You're really, really tight in your muscles, and you're having some sleep problems. Maybe you're not falling asleep as easily as you were, or you're having problems staying asleep. You know, and I think that anxiety can come in, you know, different forms, right? You know, so of course we can all experience some form of anxiety, but there are people out there who have anxiety disorders, right? And this is where a generalized anxiety disorder comes in. This is a disorder that affects people's day-to-day activities. They can't function because they're experiencing a high amount of anxiety. It's not caused by any kind of drug abuse or any kind of medication or anything like that. It's not caused by a different medical disorder. It's just an unfortunate disorder that, you know, kind of, the best way that I can describe it is just a disorder that just kind of suffocates you. You know, you can't think straight. You can't figure out what you're going to do. Just everything just causes you to panic, basically. I personally suffer from generalized anxiety disorder, and a usual day for me is just waking up anxious. I'm just anxious about everything. Anxious about what I'm going to wear, how my hair looks, what people will think of me if I wear this kind of makeup. You know, what if there's traffic and I get stuck, and how many minutes am I going to be late? And let me just plan out every second of every day of my life because I'm so damn anxious, right? And it didn't used to always be that way. I used to just be like, live my life, you know, I didn't really care about the time or how much time I had left for certain things. Like, I just didn't care. But I think somewhere along the way, I began to be just really, really antsy and anxious about everything. I needed to know every detail of everything, or I would flip out. I would freak. I was not comfortable with just, you know, just living life on a fly, you know, live life as it comes. No, I need to know the schedule. I need to know where we're going. I need to know who we're going with. I need to know what I need to wear, you know, what time I should appear, things like that. And I slowly started to notice that it just affected everything. My relationships, my work ethic, you know, school. I started failing, believe it or not, because I wouldn't do presentations. I just couldn't. I would freeze up. just being anxious about every little thing in my life. Sometimes I can wake up and just feel anxious for no reason. There's literally no reason why I'm anxious, but it's there. And that's hard, right? It's hard to deal with any kind of mental disorder. But it's hard to feel anxious. I know that outside of having a disorder, there are people that have certain situations or, you know, certain traumatic events that cause some anxiety. So how do we deal with that, right? In my community, I am African American. We usually deal with any kind of stress in a couple of ways, right? We either go party, we go drink, we have sex a lot, we meet new people, we just do things that we really don't do on a regular, but we do it to take the edge off. And over time, I've tried to get out of that habit and try to really focus in on what's going on with me currently right now and why I feel the need to act out in those ways to find some kind of relief. So I think that there are a few ways to combat this anxiety, this feeling that we're having that we can't function properly. And there are five things that stuck out to me. The first thing is to regulate your breathing. And I know it's cliche. I know when I first started my mental health journey, I hated when people told me, you know, take a deep breath, it's going to be okay. Like, no, it's not going to be okay. Like, me taking a deep breath is not going to solve all my fucking problems right now. Like, I need more than deep breaths. But I learned over time that regulating my breathing and just taking that time to center myself and focus on the here and now really helps me think about what's making me anxious, how can I decrease this feeling, and how can I be prepared for whatever I'm anxious about. So it can be something as simple as taking five deep breaths, right? It can be something as simple as, you know, just doing some mindfulness activities like meditation and guided imagery, or, you know, just closing your eyes and thinking about something that brings you happiness or brings you joy or soothes you in any kind of way, and just focusing on that, you know, slowing down your heart rate, slowing down your breathing, and just relaxing your body, because you might be really, really tense because you're anxious. So just, you know, try to work on your breathing techniques and just taking notice of how your body changes when you're anxious really helped for me. Another thing that I do that I thought was silly is some grounding activities. I mentioned before, you know, like closing your eyes and thinking about a specific place or a specific person. One grounding activity that will always stick out to me has something to do with the senses. So basically, you would close your eyes and you would think of the things that are around you. So the first thing you would say to a person if you were trying to help them was, you know, what is one thing that you hear? What do you hear? Can you describe it? So one thing that I hear right now is my AC blowing out the cool air. So one thing that I can feel is the cool air on my skin. You know, I can feel the material of my clothes. I can feel the weight of my phone as I hold it, talking to you guys. One thing that I can see is the light from my computer and, you know, the books in front of me. One thing that I can taste is the dinner that I just had 10 minutes ago. And just like taking that moment to just focus on other things and just really center yourself and really think about how your body's reacting, and just the little things really do matter. We think that they don't, but they do. Grounding activities are a great, great, great way to combat anxiety. It can get you out of anxiety attacks, panic attacks. It can just help you calm down, but that's a great way to try to decrease your anxiety. Another thing that we all do is just confide in other people, you know, your friends, your family, anybody that's in your support system. They can be anybody. I think that having those people that we confide in, that we can tell when we're struggling, you know, hey, I'm not doing so good right now. You know, this is what's going on. Having a girlfriend to, you know, be a shoulder for you. It really, really matters. It really matters. That can also be a way to help you with your anxiety as well, because they can kind of help you go through different scenarios and go through different alternatives and try to figure out different ways to solve the issue that's at hand. So having a support system is really, really great, and we really take for granted the people that are around us. So really just think about, who can you depend on? You know, who is that one person that no matter what time of night it is, I can call them and I can tell them that I am just not doing well, and they would listen. Think about those people and keep them close to you, because a support system will go a long way. The next thing is identifying your triggers. So what makes you anxious? I mentioned earlier that some people are just anxious for no reason. You know, they don't really know what is causing the anxiety. Other people are anxious for a reason. So maybe an upcoming court date, or they have this big project that's due, or they're having this argument with their significant other and they're about to see them face to face to continue the conversation, and they're just really anxious about it. Things like that. You know, identifying the triggers that you have to kind of prepare yourself for them before they happen. So for example, I have this paper coming up, right? And of course I'm not ready for it, so I'm anxious about it because the due date is approaching, and it's approaching every damn day. It's approaching, and I realize that I'm really not prepared as I would like to be. So what do I do about it, right? I get more organized. I outline what I need to do by what time, you know. I break the big thing into little parts. So, you know, breaking a situation that gives you anxiety and peace in it so that it doesn't seem as overwhelming might help as well. You know, just do things one step at a time. Triggers can also be people. We do have some toxic individuals around us, and that could be friends, that could be family, that can be work employees or employers. You know, we can have these toxic people in our lives that trigger us to be so anxious. Know that, figure out who they are, and try to set some boundaries. Try to, you know, put that bubble up where, you know, you don't accept certain interactions or certain conversations because you know that it's going to bring you anxiety. You know, try to find a different way. If you know that talking to this person every day is bringing you anxiety, resort to an email, you know, so you don't have to experience all that negative energy that they're giving you. It can also be places that give you anxiety. Maybe it holds a negative memory, or maybe that's where you had your first date with your boyfriend, but now you guys are broken up, right? So now you're anxious every time you walk past it. You know, figure out whatever it is that kind of triggers you into that moment of anxiety and try to find ways around it. My last way, which is really, really big and that I advocate a lot for, is therapy. So, as Black people, we don't think that we need therapy, right? We think that either we go to church, we pray about it, and it's gone. We drink about, you know, a bottle or two, and our problems are just completely gone until the next morning when they're not. We party, smoke, have sex, meet new people. We do all these things to avoid the problems that are causing anxiety. And we don't really believe in counselors and therapists and these mental health professionals that are here to help us. And I think that that's really deeply embedded in our culture. And I think that right now we're trying to get out of that. We're trying to get out of, you know, oh, church is the end all be all. And if you can't fix it in church, then maybe you're just, you know, crazy or whatever. Like, we have become more open to things like yoga and meditation and, you know, crystals and things like that. So I think that counseling and therapy is a great way of just trying to talk things out with somebody that is unbiased, somebody that doesn't know you, that can't take sides, and somebody who can see things from the outside looking in, because sometimes we are so caught up in our world that we can't see red flags. We can't see, you know, our strong points. We don't know what we're doing right, and we have a hard time of, you know, complimenting ourselves about what we are doing right and how far we've come on our journey. And having somebody else give us that insight and kind of give us the tools to proceed in life goes a long way. If you can, please find somebody, find a therapist, find a Black therapist. There are a lot of resources out here, a lot of free resources out here. You just have to look. I think that we've been through a lot. Growing up, I know a lot of people who have experienced death so young, by violence and drugs and just, you know, being in unfortunate situations, and we've become numb to it. We think that it's just the norm because that's what we grew up in. That's what we're used to. You know, somebody gets shot in our neighborhood and we say, wow, that's fucked up. And we move on, you know, like some of us don't even cry anymore at this point. So we've come accustomed to being numb and to conditioning ourselves to just get through it and to be strong and, you know, just survive, basically, because that's basically the theme of our lives as Black people, is to survive. So how do we get out of that? How do we go from surviving to living in a healthy way? And I think that therapy is the key, you know, talking about all those things that we went through as children and at adolescence, and how that impacted us, and how we think those things shaped who we are as adults, what we don't want to give to our kids, what we want to break as far as generational curses and habits and things of that nature. Like, we need to start identifying all these things, because if we don't, our kids will have to go through it. Our kids will have the same experiences, and they won't be able to cope because we were never able to cope because we didn't learn it. So I think that it's both a healing process, which is a plus, and it's also a learning process, which is a plus, because the things we learn from therapy, we can now pass on to younger generations. We don't always have to fight and resort to violence and things of that nature, because we can express ourselves. We can express ourselves verbally. We can express ourselves with writing. We can express ourselves in different ways to get different results. So that was my little spiel. I know I was on a soapbox, but I am such a huge advocate for mental health. So that is my little short snippet about anxiety, about things that will help you on that journey when you're experiencing anxiety. And as always, we welcome any feedback, any comments, or any thoughts about what you thought about this week's podcast. We will see you next week. And make sure you have a very, very, very productive one.